day some glorious morning I shall see him face to face, all because of God's amazing grace.
Through disappointment and danger too,
tonight to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. I was sitting here thinking, I sort of feel like the man that took his mule to the Kentucky Derby. They got the mule in the Kentucky Derby, and the night before the race, they were there in the barn, and those thoroughbreds were just letting him have it, just telling him there's no way that he could win the Kentucky Derby. Do you realize who's in this race? You got all of these thoroughbreds. The best of the best is in this race. That mule thought about it for a little while and he said, "You know, I may not win, but I sure do enjoy the company." You know, if you don't like your own joke, I'm telling you. I do appreciate Brother Angel, appreciate the opportunity to be here and looking forward to hearing Brother Coral and Brother Gomez. Love them to death. And I do thank God for the angels. And we are going to get real close here over the next few years. And we do thank God for Luke. He's a keeper. We found out he is a keeper. I'm to the point now, I believe I'd rather have Luke than Jessica. What do you think, Brother Gomez? Because she's a liar. I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but she's a liar. And I think Brother Hall is teaching her how to do it. I'm not real sure. We're sitting in the hotel, and she had this wonderful idea as we were coming over here that she was going to come. She was going to call into work. She was going to come and see Mom and Daddy tonight. I said, "That's a great idea. We got our hopes up. We're going to get to see our little princess. We're going to get to see her, Brother Gomez, my princess. You know, we're going to get to see her." And so then she calls and says, "I can't do it. I can't make it. You know, they need me." And so we walk in the church back here, and you know, I've been alone with God this afternoon trying to get ready tonight, and then there's my baby girl, and all that goes out the window. Really wasn't sure what I was going to preach. But we are glad to be here, and I thank you so much. Let's stand together as I read a few verses here. I want to give you a message that God's laid upon my heart. And as I began to pray about this meeting, and Brother Angel asked me to come, I'll be honest with you, I'm to the place where I just soon just mind the Lord instead of trying to please a crowd or even please a man. Even though I love Brother Angel, I want to please the Lord tonight and be a help to God's people. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And David sent to Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord and went not down to his house. When they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down into his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." Here we find this story that Uriah was told by David the king to leave the battle, to get out of the battle, and go to his house. But in verse number 11, Uriah gives us tonight the reasons for staying in the battle. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight, God being my helper. Reasons for staying in the battle. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I sure do love you. God, I thank you so much for loving me and caring for me and saving my soul. Now, God, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Lord, if there was ever a time you helped a preacher, Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. God, I pray that you'd help me to preach what you've laid upon my heart. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. You know the story and the history of this chapter. David, the man after God's own heart, commits the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. You know the devastating events of this chapter, and you've heard message after message about David's sin. Not only to him, what it did to him, but his family and the whole nation of Israel. I've heard many messages preached out of this chapter, as have you. I've heard Sunday school lessons taught out of this chapter the same as you have. Listen, I've even preached many times out of this chapter. I've heard it dealt with, and I've even dealt with it myself, the high cost of low living. And let me just stop and say this, there is a high cost to low living. I don't care who you are or where you go, there is and there always will be a high cost to low living. Listen, and I don't care how much Hollywood glamorizes sin or how much society glamorizes sin, understand me tonight, the Word of God teaches us that there is and there will always be a high cost to low living. And we can deal with that, and we could properly deal with that from this passage of Scripture and understand that this is something that this teaches us tonight. And we've all heard it preached dealing with David's sin. I've even heard it preached dealing with Bathsheba's sin. And we always briefly hear the mention of a name, Uriah. There's not a whole lot that's said about Uriah in this passage of Scripture, in this devastating, dark chapter. There's not a whole lot that's said about him. And as we open up the pages of the Word of God and we come to this chapter, I'll have to tell you, and you'll agree with me, this is not one of the brightest chapters in the Word of God. This is a dark, dooming chapter. This is a devastating chapter, but there is a hero in this chapter. In the midst of the devastation, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the brokenness, and how things played out, in the midst of all of those things, right in the middle is a hero. And we'll find tonight, when we find here that Uriah, he had the kisses of the king to go back to his house and enjoy his family. Uriah had the permission of the king to go back to his house and to lie with his wife and to eat at his table. He even sent the best of the best to eat with his family and to enjoy an evening with his wife. The king sent all that he had. But Uriah said, "I will not do this thing." As we look at this story, I can't help but wonder, why was it so important for Uriah to get back in the fight? Why? After all, the king thought it important enough to bring him out of the battle. He was was down doing what he was supposed to do, and the king had sent after him, and no one would have thought ill of Uriah if he would have went and spent the night with his wife. That's what the king wanted him to do. While his buddies and everyone else were down in the battle, Uriah, nobody would have said, look at Uriah, why is he going home? Look at Uriah. They would have not thought evil of him, would they, church? But there was something in the battle that Uriah couldn't get from his wife. Church, you need to understand, there was something in the battle that Uriah could not get from the kisses of the king. There was something down in the battle that Uriah couldn't get with the fellowship of his family. There was something in the battle. And he said, David, King David, put me back in the battle. Listen, we're living in a day when you've got folks that are falling by the wayside. You got folks that are leaving the battle. Listen, this is not a playground. This is a battlefield. The Bible teaches us that tonight. And if there was ever a time that children of God need to stand and fight, 2011 is the time that we need to stand and fight. We need soldiers in the army of God like Uriah that says, I'm not going down to the house. I'm not leaving the battle because there's something in the battle that's worth staying for. I'm telling you, church, if we're going to get anything done for God, time is of the essence, and we believe. And I could ask you, do you believe that Jesus is coming soon? All of us believe that He's coming soon. We could testify and say, oh yes, preacher, Jesus is coming soon. If we truly believe that, then why are we not in the battle? And so, Uriah, he wanted to get back in the battle. There was something that Uriah received in the battle that he didn't get at home. He just asked the king, put me back in the battle. You see, we find here in verse number 11 the reasons he wanted back in the battle. I want to tell you something tonight. I believe that his reasons ought to be the same reasons for you and I to stay in the battle. I want to examine those reasons very quickly tonight. And pray that if you're not in the battle, you'll get in the battle. If you're thinking about quitting, that you'll reconsider. And if you've already quit and you've given up and this is your last time to be here, that the Holy Spirit of God would deal with your heart and say, you know what? You're needed in the battle. He needs you in the battle. He don't need you on the sidelines. Notice, first of all, as we look at chapter number 11 and verse number 11, and Uriah said unto David, the ark. So the first reason I find for staying in the battle is the presence of God. The ark. We know from the Word of God that the ark represents the presence of God. David knew something about the ark. You've read the story of David. You know the history of David. You know that he helped bring it from Obed-Edom's house and put it back in its place. David knew what it was to be in the presence of God. Hey, I'm not just talking about some man in the Word of God. I'm talking about the sweet psalmist of Israel. I'm talking about the sweet singer of Israel. This man knew what it was about to be in the presence of God. And Uriah the Hittite, he said, put me back in the battle because that's where the ark, the presence of God, abides. Uriah said, David, put me back in the battle because that's where the presence of God is. May I say to you that there are people all over this country that are who are in love with performances. Listen, there's folks that sit in church house pews week after week after week, and they're in love with performance. They'll go and they'll sit in the church where the Word of God is not proclaimed, where the Word of God is not preached, and the pastor does not stand for the truth because they're in love with performances. But let me ask you this question. How far can you travel without Him? How far do you think you can get in life without Him? How much do you think you can accomplish in this life without Him? What do you think you can do without Him? As we consider this thought tonight, I wonder in this crowd that we have here tonight, are you enjoying the presence of God in your life? When was the last time that you really, truly sensed God's presence in your life? Uriah said, put me back in the battle. Put me back in the fight because of the ark, the presence of God. There was something in the battle that Uriah said that I'd rather have than the night with my wife. In the presence of God, there's some things that you'll find that you'll not find anywhere else. When you get in the presence of God, first of all, you'll find that worship will be sweet. Hey, every time you find that place, worship will be sweet. You know, listen, you won't have to be pumped up. You won't have to sing little ditties. You won't have to have a praise group on the platform to get you primed up. Listen, when you get into His presence, worship will be sweet every single time. When you get into His place, when you get into that place where He's at, worship will be sweet. Every single time, it seems to me that the more and more we become a society that likes to be entertained, we've got to have 15 specials before the Word of God is preached. We got to be pumped up and we got to be primed up and get us all worked up emotionally before we can usher in the presence of God. But if the children of God would spend time with God before they get to the house of God, they would find that worship will be sweet. Would to God we'd have a church full of folks that knows what it's like to be in His presence, to be where He is. Oh, that we would see Jesus for who He is. And once we get a fresh glimpse of Him, then we can take a better look at ourselves and see who we are and what we are. Uriah said, put me back in the battle. Put me back in the fight because of the ark, the presence of God. In the presence of God, worship will be sweet. But I also find when you're in the presence of God, not only will worship be sweet, but wealth will be shared. And see, when that wealth is shared, you'll find provisions for the journey. I'm telling you, I don't know what you need tonight. You may think you know, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven that knows exactly what I need, when I need it, and how I need it. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Hey, we're not praying to Allah. We're not praying to Buddha. We're not praying to some dead God. When we fall on our knees, we're falling on our knees before a thrice holy God that knows everything about you before you even know it yourself. And when we get into His presence, I'm telling you, it's just like sometimes, you know, when you go out to eat with somebody like Brother Angel or some of these other fellas, you have to wrestle for the check, which I don't wrestle real hard. You know what I mean, Doc? We don't wrestle real hard. But you see, whenever you get into His presence, He knows what you need. You don't have to worry about bringing your checkbook. He'll take care of it. It's absolutely paid for, brother. It's paid for. I'm telling you, when you get into His presence, but listen, what I don't understand is why God's children, knowing what we know about being in His presence, where worship is sweet and wealth is shared, why do we not spend time with Him? I know this is not the case here in this church, but in my church, there's people that go days without even opening up the Word of God. Y'all pray for us. There's folks in my church, Brother Gomez, that they go days without even spending time in prayer. But yet we got a battle. No wonder there's so many casualties of war. Listen, I'm telling you, Uriah said, put me back in the battle. Because that's where the ark, the presence of God is. Before I leave this thought, let me tell you something else you'll find in the presence of God quickly. You'll find a person who cannot be dethroned. Listen, as I said earlier, God cannot be dethroned. Listen, the Bible teaches us that He's the rock of all ages. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one who cannot and will never be dethroned. You'll find a peace that cannot be duplicated. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the day that we live in, it's a billion-dollar industry of therapists and psychotic drugs and all of those things. And all they're looking for is peace. The drug addicts and everything else, all they're searching for is peace. But I'm telling you, in His presence, you'll find a peace that can't be duplicated with a drug. You'll find a peace that can't be duplicated with therapy. Listen, I'm telling you, in His presence, you'll find a peace that passeth all understanding. Quickly, let me tell you, in His presence, you'll not only find a person who cannot be dethroned, a peace that cannot be duplicated, you'll find a power that cannot be destroyed. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you about that. But you'll also find a provision that cannot be diminished. You know, sometimes when you're hosting things or you're doing things, there sometimes supplies run out. But I'm thankful in His presence, His provisions will never run out. There's always enough. And the good thing is, there's enough for you here in Bourbonnais. There's enough for me in Clinton, Illinois. There's enough for you in Elgin, Illinois. And everywhere that you go, there's enough in His presence. You'll find a provision that will never be diminished. You'll find a priest that cannot die. The Bible says, "For we have an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points, was tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You'll find also in His presence a place that cannot be denied. Do you understand this, church? All of this is in His presence. And Uriah said, "David, put me back in the battle." Because that's where the presence of the Lord is. So as we look at the reasons, he said the ark. That's the presence of God. Number two, he says, and Israel. That's the people of God. I don't know who you want to die with, but I want to die with the people of God. I don't know who you want to spend time with, but I want to spend time with God's people. I don't know who you love the most, but I love the people of God. Listen, I get worried and I get worried about folks that want to spend time with the world all the time. I like spending time with God's people. I like spending time with them because of the concern of the people of God. For the most part, God's people are concerned about what God is concerned about. And that's the souls of men. Listen, do you understand why you run those buses every week? Because it's a vehicle that God uses to reach boys and girls and moms and dads before they go to hell. What concerns you tonight? Listen, the souls of men concern God so much that He gave His only darling Son for their sins, for your sins and my sins. Listen, the people of God, we see their concern, but we also see the compassion of the people of God. I've watched, preacher, week after week, early in the morning, we go out a long ways, as many of you do, and run our buses, and sometimes they have to leave our church very early in the morning. Back in the winter, I remember walking across the parking lot very early, and that morning, I believe, as I was walking out, it topped out at like -5. As I walked across that parking lot, Brother Gomez, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart as I see that group crawling out, wrapped up, bundled up. They're out there in those cold buses, and I'd hear them trying to crank, and then they'd fire on up. You could see the relief on their face. We did it again. They'd crawl. I see the relief. I see people here that's experienced that before. They get on those buses. And they get it warm. They get it nice and toasty so those boys and girls can get on, come to the Sunday school and hear about Jesus. You know why that is? Because of the compassion of the people of God. You see, I see folks every week that give money to the bus ministry. We spent $17,000 last year just in fuel alone. Last month, our fuel bill was over $2,000. And you know what? We're able to do that because of the compassion of God's people. You see, Uriah said, "Put me back in the fight. Put me back in the battle because of the people of God, Israel." But then notice, he gives another reason. He says, the ark, which is the presence of God, and Israel, the people of God, and Judah. That's the praises of God. Judah means praise. He was saying, put me back down there where the praises are. Listen, think about the situation. Down there in the battle where the arrows were being shot and the fiery darts were being shot. They were being thrown on every hand. This was a hard place. This was a difficult place. But Uriah was telling David, look down there at them. Look at them. Can you see them? There's something about them that's different. Even though the darts are coming, even though the arrows are being thrown, those are happy people in the battle. They're lifting their hands and they're praising God. It's just like the child of God, even though the valley may be dark, even though the storm clouds may roll in, when you're in the battle and you're in His presence and you're loving Him and you're walking with Him, you can still praise His holy name. You heard the story about the regiment of soldiers. They were in the battle and they were outnumbered 5-1 by the enemy. They were suffering defeat and they were overwhelmed by the enemy. And the sergeant told the little guy who blew the trumpet, he said, "Son, blow the sound of retreat. We're being overwhelmed by the enemy." That little trumpeter boy looked at that sergeant with tears in his eyes and he said, "Sergeant, I don't know the retreat sound. I don't know what that sounds like. I've never had to blow that sound before." So that little trumpeter boy did the only thing he knew. He red, black, and blue, the only sound he knew. And that sound was charge, charge, charge. And the enemy heard that sound and they thought that the reinforcements were coming. And so they turned tail and ran. Let me tell you here tonight, listen, I don't want to ever sound the sound of retreat. Listen, I'm here tonight as that little trumpeter boy to sound the sound of charge. It's not time to slow down. It's not time to quit. If there was ever time to sound the charge, Faith Baptist Church, we ought to stand up and sound the charge tonight because we need to be in the battle. So when it gets hard, it seems the enemy's moving in. When all of hell breaks loose and every wicked thing that comes against you can, when retreat seems to be the only way out, praise the Lord and raise your hand and blow the sound of charge. So he said, so Uriah said, the ark, the presence of God, that's a good reason to stay in the battle. That was enough, wasn't it? He said, Israel, that's the people of God. Another good reason to stay in the battle. Listen, you give up, who knows who you'll affect from giving up also. You know, preacher, if you give up, who else? You travel all over this world. What happens if you give up? Brother Gomez, what happens if you give up? You other preachers, what happens if you give up? You think that we're an island unto ourselves? Neither are you, church. Listen, the people of God, that ought to be a good enough reason for us to stay in the battle. The praises of God, what's a good reason to stay in the battle? Even when we're down, we can still find reason to praise Him. You know, a lot of times when you have a testimony service or give somebody an opportunity to get up and brag on Jesus, we have to sit there and think, well, He hadn't done nothing for me this week. I want us to do a real quick exercise. Everybody do this right here. Go. Everybody do that? Do you understand there's folks today that could not do that? Because they're in the grave. And if for no other reason you say, Lord, thank you for another day of life. I bless your holy name for this day of life. So put me back in the battle. That's where the praises of God are. Then notice number four, he gives another reason. Not only the presence of God, the people of God, the praises of God, but he says there, Judah, it says that the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. I call that the place of God. Uriah could have easily told David at this time, David, you're familiar with the war cry. The war cry was familiar to them in that day, and that war cry was to the tents. To the tents. That they knew what that meant. Uriah could have said, David, you know the war cry, but you've chosen a housetop experience yourself. He could have told him that, but he didn't. You see, we know from verse 1 that David was not in the place that God wanted him because when the kings went forth to battle, that David was on the housetop. David was not in the place that he should have been. Uriah said, put me back in the battle because that's my place. Would to God, we'd have some people tonight who just stay in their place. Oh, that we'd have a church full of folks that says, you know what, preacher? I want to be in my place. I want to be in my place. I want to be found in my place. I don't know about you, but I want to be in my place where God wants me to be. I'll be honest with you. You may not think a lot of Clinton, Illinois. There ain't a whole lot in Clinton. It ain't a whole lot. But that's my place. I love that place. I may not think a whole lot of Bourbonnais or Elgin or Oswego. I drove through there one time. I may not think a whole lot of that, but that's your place. That's your place. Man, would to God we'd have some folks who are just determined to be in their place, whether it's in that Sunday school class, whether it's on that bus route, whether it's running the vacuum cleaner, whether it's cleaning the toilets, whether it's mowing the grass, whatever it is, we need some folks that'll say and determine tonight that I want to be in my place. If God gives you the privilege to work in His business, then He's seen fit to put you in a place. Every missionary that I know, every pastor I know understands that there's no place like being in the place that God has for you. You know, folks that work in a Christian school and you wonder, man, how can you put up with youngins like that? It's something about being in the place that God has called you to. Brother Hall, you put up with all those college kids that come up with all kind of excuses why they can't do stuff. It's His place. Just like your place. Nobody can feel your place like you can. Uriah said, put me back in the battle. Because that's where the presence of God is. The people of God and the praises of God and the place of God. But then finally, he gives this last reason here. He says, my Lord Joab. I call this the promises of God. You see, at the feet of Joab was the promises that were laid at the door. He was just saying, put me back where the promises are. Listen, the Word of God is filled with promises. We see the preciousness of His promises. I don't have time to develop this tonight, but when you get to that place, you hold tight to the promises of God, knowing that one day this will all be over. And this will all be over. And the last day will end. There will be times in this life, and I'm not Smiley Joel Osteen. It tells you everything's going to be hunky-dory. But I'll tell you this much. There's times whenever the storm clouds hang low and you can't see nothing but the promises of God. Brother Coral, I know in your ministry there's been times when it seems like everything that could go wrong does go wrong. There's times whenever, church member, that it seems like you try to do right, you try to be faithful, you try to give, and you try to read your Bible, you try to tell folks about Jesus, and everything that can go wrong does go wrong, and you wonder what is going on, and you'll find yourself in the wee hours of the morning just searching for a promise. God, give me one more promise. Listen, because not only are they precious, they're permanent, because there's not one promise that will not come to pass in this blessed book. I'm telling you tonight, church, there's reasons for staying in the battle. Uriah said, David, put me back in the fight. Put me back in the battle. Church, I wonder tonight, are you in the battle? If not, why? You may have been hurt. Somebody may have hurt your feelings, or somebody may have hurt you, and I wouldn't make light of that tonight. Honestly, I wouldn't make light of that. But what about the ones that hurt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What if He would have sat on the wayside? What if He would have just quit and didn't go all the way? We need to finish this thing. We need to finish. We're not going to finish unless we're in the fight. Father, thank You for the attention of Your people tonight. God, I thank You so much for liberty to preach. God, I pray that we'd have some folks to determine tonight more than ever, Lord, to stay in the fight, to get in the battle. Bless the remainder of this service. Bless Brother Coral as he preaches. Help him tonight. In Jesus' name.